Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome to Talking with People, a QRF production. I'm your host, Adam Pallant. On today's episode, we continue our NFL team-by-team 2022-23 season recap and 23-24 season previews with a deep dive into America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. Now, if you were able to see me when I said America's team just then, I used the cliche quote-unquote fingers because the Cowboys are no longer America's team. Let's be honest, all right? They are more of a team still searching for identity and a deep playoff run, while their owner, general manager, continues to weigh them down like an anchor. So with that said, I am beyond elated to have as my guest a man who I have known for over 45 years and who I had the pleasure of attending Game 5 of the Phillies-Astros World Series last October. He is a fan of a football team that hasn't won a championship since the early to mid-90s and has been disappointing their fans ever since. We grew up together in Twin Rivers, New Jersey, and he's still one of my favorite humans alive. Here he is, my friend, Eric Rossman. How are you, Eric?
I'm great. What an intro. I love it. I'll even give myself a little round of applause for that one.
You should. Well deserved. Absolutely. So it's great to see you. I'm excited that you're joining this podcast and talking about the Cowboys. Do you agree a little that the luster and the feel for America's team has kind of fallen off of the Cowboys?
You know, I can see how someone from, you know, this side of the world, the East Coast, might feel that way. But I think you have it wrong. I think you have lenses of the East Coast. Maybe you live a little close to Philly. I don't know. But to me, I think what you'll find for the rest of the country, especially if you go into the middle of America, it's still Dallas Cowboy, America's team.
Wow. Well, there you go. So yet another reason never to leave the East Coast is what you're trying to say.
Fair enough.
All right. So let's all sit back. Let's make sure your tray tables are up and you're all seated in the full upright position. And let's get into it. Eric, we're going to kick off. I actually used to have a buzzer here to let everybody know that trivia was coming, but for some reason, the buzzer's not working today. So we're just going to go right into a nice trivia question for you. Let's see how you do.
Sounds good.
And you're lucky. This is a multiple choice. Past guests do not get multiple choice and have been embarrassed and have refused to come out of their home for 5 days thereafter. So here we go. Let's see if you can answer this one. What Dallas Cowboy holds the NFL record for most passes to start a career without an interception? Okay, I'm going to give you the four guys. So Dallas Cowboy, what holds the NFL record for most passes started career without interception? Is it Roger Staubach?
It's not Roger Staubach.
Is it Dak Prescott? Is it Troy Aikman? Or is it Tony Romo?
It is not Troy Aikman. He was terrible his first year. Man, I'm going to have to say my man Tony Romo.
You eliminated the two, and no, it is Dak Prescott.
No, it was Dak.
Prescott's mark, 176 passes broke the previous record of 162 set by Tom Brady.
That's only because his first game was obviously not a playoff game, because wouldn't be
That's true. So I'm sorry you don't get the year supply of Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat, but you still get to see on the episode, and that's all that matters. All right, so let's look back at what happened last year. So this was the Cowboys' third season under head coach Mike McCarthy. They finished a quality 12-5. They beat Tampa in the wild card, and they fell to the Niners for the second consecutive season. So record-wise, not too bad of a season, really. But their defense failed to show up last year for some games, and they were outscored 142-88 in their five losses. So with that being said, in your opinion, what went wrong with this team overall?
Well, I mean, we had the injury. So we started off with a lot of high hopes. We played, I think our schedule was a bad schedule. We started against Tom Brady that first game, came off a little slow. Dak did not play well, got hurt. And in truth, as a Dallas Cowboy fan, I was thinking last season was done after that. But then we had the man Cooper Rush come in, win four straight games, give us a winning record, turned it around. After that, I think it was week 7 when Dak came back. He didn't really do too well, but not in that particular game. But after that, yeah, he kind of showed us that he can take us to the playoffs. I just don't know if he can take us through the playoffs. And I think for me, I think I actually overachieved after that injury, which was somewhat surprising. Again, I live in the Philadelphia area, so all I hear about is how good the birds are. But I think the Cowboys, their record 12-5, they were, you know, I think they only had one loss in their division. So did really well with it within the division itself. You know, I think the biggest thing for the Cowboys in my mind was when you lose someone like Amari Cooper and you're really hoping that CeeDee Lamb can come in and be that guy. And he had a great season, but we had nothing after him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the year before we had Amari Cooper and then you had CeeDee Lamb, you know, and then you had Dalton Schultz coming in as a tight end. You had a lot of options. Last year from the passing game, we had very little options. We had injuries on our offensive line. We couldn't get Tyrone Smith healthy. We lost our center. You know, I mean, we were really struggling in terms of just health. But Tony Pollard stepped up, ran the ball really well, showed us, in my mind, why he should be the lead back instead of aging Zeke, although I don't have hate for Zeke. He played his role well.
Sure.
But if you had to ask me what was the real reason why we lost, I believe it's the coaching. I think the coaching is what blew it for the Cowboys. I think Kellen Moore, I'm so glad he's gone. I understand people like him. To me, he's boring. He runs the most boring, predictable offense that you can run in the NFL. Every down, they knew we were handing the ball off to Zeke, or they knew it was going to Tony Pollard. Very, very infrequently did we run a play that wasn't predictable. And then, you know, this year, Schottenheimer, you know, he runs a lot of pass action plays. So I won't jump ahead to this year. But I think, you know, seeing a change like that, I'm really excited for that. And I think last year, Mike McCarthy blew a lot of games with his coaching. Time management at the end. You know, we couldn't seem to at the end of the game, get it together. And, you know, players play a role, but coaches lead the team. And just too many times, he just blew it.
So does Jason Garrett win that game against the Niners?
That's a great question. You know, Jason Garrett, I loved his creativity. So I'll say that. Yeah, I think it's possible Jason Garrett would win that game. That being said, I'm not a fan of Jason Garrett as a head coach. I think Jason Garrett as an offensive coordinator would have been fine. He went a little too far for me.
I was referring to Jason Garrett as the quarterback for the Cowboys. Oh. No, of course not. I know, I'm only kidding. But that actually leads me into the question, does Cooper Rush lead that team over the Niners?
No, not at all.
Now, what about Romo? He's only 43. If he's still there, does he lead him?
Yeah, I like Romo. I think Romo, unfortunately, you know, again, was in a situation where there was a lot of talent around him. There was a lot of pressure. There was a lot of injuries that seemed to happen all the time around him. Coaching played a big role in that. He had, you know, I think Tony Romo was better than he got portrayed. I think a lot of people make fun of Romo, but if you look at what he was able to do at the end of the game, he was amazing. So in my mind, he blows Dak away. I don't know how their stats compare, but there's no doubt in my mind in the last 2 minutes of the game, I'd want Tony Romo over Dak Prescott.
So he Romo would have beaten the Niners. So then I guess I have to ask, Aikman's only 56 years old. Would Troy Aikman at 56 have been the Niners?
No, that guy's too old. But if you would have said Danny White, I would have given you the nod on Danny White.
All right, there you go. I like that. I like that. All right, so really it was the coaching, and it's really not the player. I guess the injuries, as you said, did hurt because once you took away – you know, a couple of them guys, it was really either have to go to Lamb or you have to go to Pollard and that's really it. And then once the defense and the opposing team knew what you were doing, that was the end of the game.
Yeah. And the offensive line wasn't giving Dak the time. To be fair to Dak, he was running around all the time. Yeah. And that's one thing Dak is good at. He can create plays. There's no doubt about it. He has that skill. But the offensive line was struggling. So, you know.
All right. So, well, you mentioned the positives, though. You know, Pollard, 1,000 yards rushing last year. Lamb, 1,300 yards receiving. Prescott, 2,800 passing. Well, so looking at besides those, what else impressed you last year that you can hang your hat on and say, hey, this also happened. I can't wait to see what they do in 2023.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't talk about the Cowboys and not mention Micah Parsons. I mean, that the gentleman is a beast. As a Penn Stater, I've been watching him play since college. I knew he was going to be a beast in the professional level. I did not know he would end up with the Cowboys. Man, was I happy to hear that. He is just at another level. I think changing his role from the standard either outside linebacker or putting him on the edge and on giving him the flexibility to move around, which they did a lot last year, was an incredible change to that defense. It allowed, listen, there's some really big offensive linemen, and Micah Parsons is not a big guy. And if you put one of those top offensive linemen on him, it's going to be difficult for him unless he can outrun them. But when you move them around and that person has a different person lined up against them on a given play, they're going to change their technique and they're going to kind of forget the speed for a second. And then you bring them back there and that speed will blow you away. So I think their creativity, what they did with a player like that, it reminds me, and I don't want to say that I remember the Giants being so creative, but back in the day when Taylor used to play and you would watch Lawrence Taylor on the edge. Wherever he lined up, he was a threat. He was able to get in there. And Micah Parsons is that good, but you have to be able to use him a certain way because, there's a lot of great players. So I think defensively, for me, that was a huge plus. Getting Vander Esch back into the defense helped a lot. The safeties really, really stepped up in my mind. Having Donovan Wilson come in, Malik Hooker. Those two guys, they were pickups for us. They were, who knew what they were going to do in our secondary? Our secondary was not a strength for us for sure. Obviously, we had a lot of interceptions with Diggs, but he gets burnt too. So having that safety to be able to kind of come over on top was critical. And so I think that was a big surprise for me was the secondary play. I really thought we would be hurting. I thought they played well. I think what helps with that is, of course, the defensive line rush.
Sure.
Getting DeMarcus Lawrence back, Micah Parsons, that sort of rush that you're getting on both ends, that's making the quarterback throw that ball a little bit quicker. And I think that played a role in our defensive backfield.
You're feeling pretty good about the defense that's coming back this year, and it's going to lead into our talk about the draft, but you're feeling pretty good about it right now.
I have really high hopes for the Cowboys because all I'm hearing is that the Eagles, everything I hear is Eagles this, Eagles that. Nobody's talking about the Cowboys, which is good because it's better that way. But I don't think the Cowboys, especially someone like Dak, does well in the limelight. So I'd like to see them come from sort of the, less expectations. Let's see if they can overachieve a little bit.
Sure. Kind of tough for America's team to fly under the radar, but we'll see what happens. But again, it's hard for me to say that the Cowboys are going to do bad this year. I just think they have enough talent to at least hold their own in the division. And I don't think the division is very strong outside of the Eagles, even though the Commanders seem to have a schedule that's a cakewalk. But so it'll be difficult for the Cowboys to keep pace with them. Just based on the Commanders, the schedule there, but we shall see what happens.
I mean, the Commanders to me are. They're going to be the bottom dwellers of the NFC East. And we don't have to go too far ahead because I know we're going to talk about the draft and get into that. But
Great.
yeah, I'm the interesting team that I'm thinking about is the Giants. I'll be interested to see how they work out. But I'm telling you, the dark horse right now that no one's talking about is the Cowboys. And I'll tell you why when we get into some of our free agent pickups and the draft as well.
All right, there you go. So I guess you're the first one to be talking about them, and I'm sure not the last, not the last. All right, so there you
Hopefully
go.
not
So,
the only one. Hopefully not the only one.
no, I'm sure not the only one. I believe Romo and Aikman are talking about him too. I heard Emmett Smith are talking about him. So, looking at the Cowboys draft, and again, I hope you can change my mind. I wasn't overly impressed by this draft. So let's start with the first round. Mazi Smith out of Michigan. I mean, the guy's a first team all Big Ten pick. Yeah, he did have that that gun issue, so a little off the field issue, but big guy. What do you think of him?
Well, let me even back up a little bit, because when I think of the NFL draft, because I've been going to the draft for years. I go to the draft. I've been attending the drafts. Only recently have I stopped going in my older age. But when it comes to the draft, in reality, your first three picks, maybe your fourth pick, become players on that team that year. So that's a successful draft. You can get three or four players from that draft to actually be on that team and contributing. You've had a successful draft. Now, everybody loves the stars. I get that. But if you even back up to the 2022 draft, okay, not this year, the year before, Tyler Smith, offensive lineman, all right, he filled a role for us, starter, going to be starting for a long time on the end, all right, tight end, all right, Jake Ferguson, he's going to be our tight end, starting, going to be starting for a long time on the line. He wasn't the second pick. He was actually the fourth pick. Sam Williams, defensive end. He's not starting because we got some good players there, but he contributes on that defensive line. So right away, three players. Jalen Tolbert, this is the 2022 draft, upsetting. So we'll see what happens. Wide receiver, had a bad start for the Cowboys. Unfortunately, I think he's going to be a pick that we end up losing. But even with that, I think there's one more. Bland, that's the other guy. Deron Bland, cornerback, again, backup. But fills another role. And I want to say there was another, Damone Clark, linebacker from LSU. He didn't play much last year. This year, he's probably going to be a starter for our team at weak side linebacker. So that's almost five players from the 2022 draft that nobody knows about because they're not stars, right? The only person that I can think of that is close would be the lineman, and nobody cares about an offensive lineman. So there's no...
Are these guys starting and making the team because just out of default, or are they that good that they're just dominating the count? I mean, if there's nobody else to play tight end, Ferguson's in, but do they make it just because out of default they're the number one to make it?
Cowboys need a 6'5" white guy to play tight end. It doesn't matter who he is, where he's from. We got Novacek, Doug Crosby. You know, the list goes on. We need is, and now we've got two. We got one from last year, Jake Ferguson, and then one from this year, Luke Schoonemaker, who, again, both of them, Big Ten tight ends, one's from Michigan, the other one, where was Ferguson? Wisconsin. So two big Ten tight ends, 6'5", blockers, big guys with great hands. So from a tight end position, and now we're jumping to the 2023 or the most recent draft. I think we did well, but you bring up a good point. There's no superstars from the skilled position. So most people would rank that draft as not glamorous, not very well. But for me, somebody who's watched a lot of draft, to get that many players playing and contributing, I'll give 2022 a very successful draft. But maybe like a B or a B plus. 2023 now, you talk about Mazi Smith. That guy's 6'4". 340 pounds. He's a wall. He's the guy that we have been missing on our line. We haven't had that guy. Last year we had Osa. I don't even know how to pronounce his last name.
Yeah, let's not even try.
All right. So now with the two of them together, nobody's running up the middle on the Cowboys. And that was probably our weakest link, was running right up the gut on the Cowboys. We didn't have that nose tackle. We didn't have that meaty defensive tackle. So I love the pick. Again, Big Ten school, not many, it's not a running back, quarterback. It doesn't come with the prestige, but we needed a defensive lineman, 100%, right in the middle, not so much of an edge. We've had the edge. We definitely need that. So you're right. It definitely was what I would call a need pick. There might have been some other players, skilled players out there, if I remember at the time, that a little bit more glamorous, but I enjoyed the Mazi Smith pick. I was very surprised by our second round pick. I'll say that.
I did like the pick as far as a player. I guess my perspective for some draft picks is that I'm more concerned with what they do off the field, especially as the young guys coming in. It forms their you know, their personalities, and then you're throwing money at them. So now they got questionable decision-making skills, and now they're millionaires. So, you know, this guy had a gun, and he says he was trying to get a permit, but he's carrying around a gun, and he got arrested for it. So, yeah, and he had connections that helped him get off legally. But is that a concern of yours?
I think it's always a concern, but, you know, the reality of it is he's coming from an incredible program, University of Michigan. The level of coaching that he's already seen, the requirements to play at that level, I don't have any concern. And you know what? These days, gun control, while I don't carry a gun, there's a lot of people I know coming from Pennsylvania that love hunting. Now, I'm not sure that gun was necessarily for hunting. But you know what? I know a lot of people who do target range and this and that. So hopefully he's got, I think what it comes down to, Adam, in all honesty, is who does he have around him? Who are the people around him that are feeding into him? And hopefully he has, you know, a good set of support. From what I've seen, you know, in my mind, somebody to play at that level at that Big Ten school, Michigan, I think he'll be just fine. But yeah, you know, obviously as a Cowboy fan, we've had a long history of off-field issues. Then again, when all that was going on, we won a lot of Super Bowls. So maybe a little off-field issue here and there isn't so bad.
a little here, a little there. You know, left hand, right hand. All right, so go into Shoemaker, another Michigan guy. Outside of his injury, he has some injury issues, but your second pick is a tight end.
So I've watched him play. He is a playmaker. He can catch the ball. He is somebody who I think is going to be exciting in that realm. Mm-hmm. He could block. My concern was I felt it was a little redundant with the way Ferguson kind of had stepped into the role. Maybe there was some depth there that we're looking at. I love the double tight formation. So from that perspective, I think if we can run them both as tight ends, I think that, you know, in a double tight, that could be huge. Mm-hmm. We're going to need that probably from a short yardage perspective. Without having Zeke there, we don't really have a short yardage back. You know, having a couple of extra blocking tight ends, I think is okay. But it was early. It was a second round pick. There's a couple other players. I'm a big fan of building up the line. I think there was a couple of opportunities lost. But that being said, I liked that we gave ourselves depth. We provided ourselves with a player who, in my mind, is going to contribute. You're going to see Luke Schoonemaker on the field a lot in 2023. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from that perspective, going back to what I said before, we're good, right? I mean, there's two players who are definitely going to be on the field.
There you go. All right. So then you got third round, DeMarvian Overshawn, Texas, first team Big 12 selection. I have to say, I did like it. Big linebacker. Well, what are your thoughts?
He has an opportunity. I'll tell you this. He has an opportunity to play on this team. You know, him and Damone Clark, who we drafted last year, are battling for that other starting role. So, you know, this is a camp battle. And, you know, I love that because you got two young players, you know, both of them coming from Google organizations. Texas was the one, and LSU. So Southern schools, good program, playing high quality teams. Anytime you can add, you know, we've taken Micah Parsons sort of out of the linebacker. He's become an edge rusher to some extent. Mm-hmm. We needed some depth at linebacker. I think it was a smart draft pick. We'll see where he ends up going. I have actually some high hopes. I think he's going to probably end up becoming one of our starters this year.
Okay. And worst case depth, I guess.
Worst case, you'll find him rotating often with Clark. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Van Der Esch is an injury liability. So probably within the first week, Van Der Esch has some sort of neck injury and he has to come in. Although we still have Jadon Cox who can come in and play as well.
There you go. So prediction, there you go right there. So then the fourth round, they stayed with the defensive end, Villami Vahoko Jr. out of San Jose State, Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, the problem here is when is this guy going to get any playing time to show anything? So this, unfortunately, is an early pick, fourth round pick. You're hoping to get a contributor. unless we have some serious injuries, I don't see him contributing much. Maybe I watched the film. He looked great on film. I just, you know, we have the two of them. You know, we also have, Sam Williams from last year's draft pick. That's who he's got to beat out to really get on the field.
So really, they went in the fourth round, they went again, depth. They're just trying to get depth or injury protection.
But you know what? Defense, anytime, in my opinion, you get depth on the line, defense or offense, I'm okay with that. The only other position I feel that way about is cornerbacks. Mm-hmm. If you get more and more safeties, which is, I think, where we go next. Oh, no, we went to offensive linemen.
Yeah, you got a Sim Richards, Carolina. Yeah. I mean, again, that was your fifth round pick.
I love it. Big monster, just gonna fill in as a tackle, backup tackle for us. So, you know, again, our offensive line, if healthy, is gonna be a good offensive line.
Right.
We had no depth. We had absolutely no depth. So he comes in right away and backs up our depth and gives us depth within the middle, maybe as a guard.
Okay, so there you go. So you like that one. Surprised you like the fifth round, kind of up and over and under on the third and fourth round. So then the sixth round, your first one is a cornerback, Eric Scott Jr. out of Southern Miss.
Again, had Stephen Gilmore not been picked up, you know, this gentleman might have had an opportunity to play a little bit more. So he'll be playing. He definitely will be contributing on the field. I don't know. You know, for me, D-backs, I don't like going – you either get like a first-round D-back or you get him in the sixth or seventh round.
Right.
At least that's for me. I don't think it's worth spending early picks on besides maybe a guy who you know is a stud, like a Trevon Diggs or something like that from years ago. But after that, I think getting guys who can be coachable, fast, have the size and the talent, I don't think they have to be first round, second round, third round picks at all. So I like this pick. I think he's going to contribute. I don't think he'll, you know, whether he'll be a star, that'll take years to know.
Well, then they close out the sixth round, very questionable pick. Deuce Vaughn out of Kansas State. Now, what bothered me most, and I'm a stickler when it comes to nepotism, and Vaughn's father, Chris, is assistant director of college scouting for the Cowboys. So it bothers me that what a surprise they're drafting his son in the sixth round. What do you think of that?
I think it was exactly what you're calling it. It was somewhat of a waste of a pick. Now I know that he's a talented player, but we didn't need him. We have Turpin doing our punt returns and kick returns. Mm-hmm. We didn't need another punt returner or kick returner. So, I think it's exactly what you saw it as, which is we got somebody who works in our group and his son's in the draft and we don't see anybody else that is, because we're in the sixth round at this moment, everything's a high flyer. So why not do it? I think it was a favor to the family. Maybe down the road he becomes a contributor. That's the only reason why I don't think it's the worst pick in the world, because he can be a punt returner and kick returner. It's just the Cowboys didn't need that. We had an all-star punt returner and kick returner.
Yeah, well, there you go. You don't think they thought it was Mo Vaughn, right? You don't think it was because it just made no sense.
Mo Vaughn on the offensive line anytime.
He's a big guy. That's true. And then they closed out the seventh round. Jalen Brooks out of South Carolina. And this is a guy who, again, off-field issues, he missed a Gator Bowl because of it. So why throw a wide receiver as your seventh pick?
Garbage pick. He'll be gone. You could just forget about that.
So that's why I was concerned about some off-field issues with the draft. Where Shoemaker has injury issues. But I like your reflections on the line and the depth and the size of some of the guys they drafted.
Yeah, I would, you know, I don't think it's going to be as good as the 2022 draft. I really like the 2022. Again, not the high flyers, but definitely some contributors. But I do think that I think Mazi Smith is going to surprise a few people. It'll be interesting to see if Schoonemaker can beat out Ferguson, who comes out of that battle. And I think that's going to determine the draft right there. If Schoonemaker can outbeat Ferguson and becomes that guy, then this is a successful draft. Right away, you replaced, Dalton Schultz, and that's really what we needed. So now, if it ends up being Ferguson, then we've sort of wasted that. Not wasted the pick. We gave ourselves some depth, but that's a second round pick for a tight end who's not playing. In my mind, if you're picking a tight end in the second round, he should be coming in to start and should be a stud. That's a very good pick for his tight end.
He better be a Gronk or a Tony Gonzalez kind of player.
Yeah, no, agreed. Agreed.
So, and hopefully, if he does surprise, it's not because he's got a Glock in the back of his uniform pack. And you don't want that kind of surprise.
It depends. If you get an extra first down out of it,
There you go. I'm sure you get many downs out of it. All right. So, not too bad. You like the draft and you like the change they made. So let's look now at the upcoming season, the first season without Ezekiel Elliott since 15. So a little I'm sure.
Now, the only thing that would get me clapping a lot harder than that is if you told me it was the first season with a new owner. Or maybe
that's true. There you go. I can appreciate the owner. Again, what are you going to do with when Elliott's in Tampa Bay running circles around?
I love Zeke Elliott. I think he's a great player, and he's been a great Cowboy. But you got to know when to cut your ties. And unfortunately, the Cowboys blew it because they got nothing for him.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's a business, and you got to know when to cut that tie. And if, when we had Tony Pollard 2 years ago, that was the time to do it. When Zeke had a little bit left and was worth something. Now, now the only thing that can happen is it can make us look bad, right? He has a good season. Next thing you know, it makes us look bad because we didn't keep him. But I'm happy with Zeke going on, moving on to brighter pastures for himself, going to get more playing time. Because he can no longer run anything further than a 15-yard carry. That's the problem with Zeke. I love him. Great short yardage. But Tony Pollard, these days, I want a home run hitter who gets through that line and is gone. That's what Tony Pollard is.
And now Prescott's got basically the face of the organization, really.
He does. He does. That worries me a little bit. But
All right. So there you go. So we go into the preseason. They're 1-2. They lost. Again, we know preseason doesn't matter, but it does show a little bit of what the team's made out of. And you see some of the backups. Jaguars beat them. Seahawks beat them. But they beat the Raiders, like I expect most of the NFL to do. They beat the Raiders. So we're going to look at the regular season, September 10th, which, is really 11 days away. 11 days away. New York Giants. At MetLife Stadium, what's going to happen?
That's not the game I would have liked to open up with. Anytime you battle an NFC East team, they're going to war. The Giants, I think, are in a very similar position as the Cowboys. Nobody knows what they're going to be. But I just can't accept that Daniel Jones is a good quarterback at all. So, for me, Cowboys wipe the floor with Daniel Jones. I think maybe we start off slow. The Cowboys love starting off slow. Dak will probably start off with a pick six right away. But then the Cowboys will dominate the game later and probably end up winning by 20.
So I kind of teetered. So you're giving them the win. I kind of teetered. But I'm not going to give the Giants that many wins this year. When we do the episode in a few days for the Giants, I have to give them win somewhere. And I think that between the two teams, it's at MetLife. It's going to be a big, big game for the Giants. I'm giving them the Giants the win, really, because they're at home. That's really it. Nothing negative to the Cowboys, but you got to give the Giants at least one win this year.
It's not going to be that one, but I understand your thing.
All right. So staying in New York.
Let me just say, we didn't even mention one of the reasons why, and I want to emphasize, this is the pick that's gone, everybody's slept on this whole offseason.
All right.
Brandon Cooks. Everybody slept on him. But nobody realizes that we were 12-5 with just CeeDee Lamb. We had nobody else to throw the ball to. Brandon Cooks is exactly the complement, and Michael Gallup being healthy. But Brandon Cooks is exactly the speed complement that we need with CeeDee Lamb to spread that field. So you're going to see it. You'll be surprised to see how, and especially if you add Schottenheimer's play action, there's going to be a lot of deep bombs in the Cowboys offense this year, a lot of good plays.
You know, what's funny is that I have a tendency not to focus on the free agent picks. You're absolutely correct. So, I think Cooks is a huge acquisition. So, but yeah, I tend to overlook that. I go right from the what happened last year. Let's go to the draft. Let's go to the picks. But yeah, you're right. I don't really look at the great moves that the Cowboys made, and that was a big one.
Yeah, that's going to help a lot. And other than that, there's a couple of depth that they did on the line. But we can get back to the schedule. The Giants, although I know you think they're going to pull that one off, they lose by 20.
By 20, there you go. I'm giving it to you. That's fine. I like it and I appreciate it. So staying against New York teams, Dallas heads home against a certain Aaron Rodgers is coming with the Jets. What's going to happen?
Yeah, so we, as a Cowboy fan, we can't get past the Aaron Rodgers pass from a few years ago. I wake up and still see him scrambling and make that throw to the sideline. And, you know, like it gives me the chills. I hate that guy. I hope he does terrible. But sadly, he has our number. And I think after a big win beating New York, I think the Jets are going to pull off the win, surprisingly, against the Cowboys.
I agree with you there. And again, it's not because I expect the big things of the Jets, except I do because of their schedule. I just think Cowboy, you said earlier, the Cowboys start off a little slow, not just in games, but in the season. So I'm giving them the loss as well. Start off season 0-2. You got them at 1-1. Not too bad. So now they head to Arizona, who is going to be the basically the redheaded stepchild of this league. They're just going to get destroyed. I believe Murray's staying on the pup list. So what's going to happen? What are the Cowboys going to do in Arizona?
They're going to destroy Arizona. That's going to be a blowout. I think that'll be probably one of those games where Dak throws like 350 yards and it's just like sort of, you know, numerous touchdowns, passing touchdowns. So if I had Dak as a fantasy quarterback, that's the game I'd be targeting to start.
So an early Christmas gift on September 24th. I also picked Cowboys to win to get their first win of the year against the horrible Cardinals at State Farm Stadium. So there you go. So far you got them 1-2-1. I got them 1-2. And then they come home to face the Patriots.
Yep. You know, Dallas is a home playing team. We love playing at home. Patriots have a young quarterback. He's good, Belichick, but I don't think they have the talent to beat the Cowboys. So I give the Cowboys a victory there pretty handily.
I agree. I think Belichick is one, probably, agree with you, one of the best coaches in the game, but I don't think they have enough weaponry to beat the Cowboys. So I'm giving them the Cowboys the second win of the year. You're giving them the third win of the year, and then they're off to the Niners at Levy's Stadium on October 8th.
Yeah, this is an interesting game right here because, you know, we're coming back. San Francisco, having lost to them in the playoffs, in their home field. I'm not sold on Brock Purdy. I'm not sure he's the guy. I think this is the game where we show everybody why he's not the guy. So I actually think Cowboys, as a payback, are going to win. Because in truth, we were the better team last year. And Dak won that game. So I think he gets a little redemption.
This is a revenge match for Dak. And I agree with you because I don't think Purdy or Sam Darnold is going to do anything in San Francisco. And I think they're going to regret where they are with not letting Trey Lance go, but just how far their quarterback situation has fallen. I'm giving it to the Cowboys as well.
They should have never let Garoppolo left. That's what I think. I think that's going to be where they – and that's another great pickup for the Cowboys, I think, is Trey Lance. Not because he's better than Dak in any way, but Dak is not the future in my mind. Dak is not going to be – he's not a playoff quarterback. I'm not sure Trey Lance is, but we have no upside at that position in our depth. Now we do. I don't know what he'll do, but we have somebody who has obviously some talent there. And he has an opportunity to grow rather than being forced into starting and leading a team right away. So I think it's a good situation for Trey Lance, a good situation with the Cowboys, and a real smart pickup for sure. But yeah, you're right. I think that just highlights the downfall of the 49ers quarterback situation.
So we're like 30 minutes into this podcast, and I didn't even mention the Trey Lance acquisition. I missed out on the Cooks acquisition. You know, what the hell am I doing here? Maybe you should take over this podcast, because that's just poor. That's just poor referencing. All right, shame on me. I have the Cowboys at 3-2. You got them at 4-1. Both of us agree the Cowboys are a strong team as they go. They stay on the road on the West Coast against the Chargers.
Yeah, so this is an interesting game because, you know, Herbert, I'm a big fan of their passing game. It's Monday night. Mm-hmm. I actually think that Cowboys could lose this game. Wow. So this is where I think Cowboys have a surprise, especially coming off of the big win, mm-hmm. San Francisco. I think they're going to lose this one. So I would, in my mind, this is their second loss of the season. I think I have that.
I was going with the fact that I still think the Cowboys are a very strong team. And I gave them the win. I just feel that they're all going to be on a run. They're going to be on their run. Their fourth win of the year after two bad losses against the Giants and the Jets. And they got something to prove. So I think they're going to take the Chargers down. It'll be close, and obviously can go either way, but I think they're going to like the Monday night feel, and they're going to take it to the Chargers. Could be a one-point game, could be a 10-point game, but I'm giving it to the Cowboys. I got them now. We're both at 4-2, which is not too shabby. So
yep.
So they got the bye week. By the way, that was important also in my pick, that they knew that they had a bye coming up, which I'm going to ask. Week 7 bye, how do you feel about that?
I like it. I don't like when it's so late, so I'm fine with that. I think it's an opportunity to sometimes early on in the season you can get some bumps and bruises. It gives the team a little bit of a opportunity to reset. When it's so late in the season, I don't think you can usually use it as a resetting. It's just too late. Mm-hmm. So here you can really turn it around and almost splits the season into two halves. Hopefully the second half is the better of the two, but you know.
Well, 4-2, not too bad.
Yep. Yeah, I think so. I think that's where we're starting.
Yeah, so you're going to feel good. So they come back home to Dallas. The Rams are coming into town. What's going to happen?
You know, I like Stafford. I like the Rams this year. I think they're going to bounce back after what happened last year, but I think coming off the bye, the Cowboys take this victory.
I agree with you. And even more so with the recent talk about how Stafford's not melding well with the young guys. So that was even before I made this pick. So I'm giving the Cowboys the win as well, moving them to 5-2 and agreeing with you. And by the way, the week after that, they're off to Philadelphia. Big game.
November 5th.
Yeah.
This is the game where all the Eagles fans are going to learn how to eat dirt. They're going to realize that the team that they thought was the best team isn't as good as they think it is.
Okay.
There's a lot of Eagles hype, and I appreciate it because they've done an incredible job drafting and building their lines. But Jalen Hurts is not the answer. I know people love him. He could be a great fantasy quarterback. He is not going to be a Super Bowl quarterback. So for me, everybody, Eagles, everybody's going to think they're going to be killing the Cowboys. They might even be undefeated, the Eagles, by that point. Mm-hmm. Cowboys take the victory in Philly.
Wow. That is unreal. November 5th, it is an interesting day. By the way, November 5th, 1955 was, of course, where Doc Brown fell off his toilet and hit his head and came up with the idea of the flux capacitor, which made time travel possible. So maybe a time travel and you bring back Donovan McNabb versus the Troy Aikman. But I don't see the Cowboys winning that game. I think Eagles are going to be too strong at home. I'm giving the Cowboys a loss just because, again, I'm a believer in Eagles, even though if I despise them more than life itself, more so than I hate the Mets. But I am saying I'm giving the loss to the Cowboys.
I don't even think Jalen Hurts will be playing by week 9.
That's it. Well, because you just think is that because he's scared or he's going
to
be
injured? No. I think he's going to get hurt because he's too immature of a quarterback to realize when to throw the ball away. So he's going to try to do too much and he's going to get hurt.
Okay, because that's
I don't wish injuries on anyone. So hopefully, you know, it's nothing serious, but you know, at least keep him out for the rest of the season. Just that would be wonderful, and then you know, have a nice recovery and fully recover for next year. That's perfectly fine.
Is there backup Minshew or is it Mariota? Who's a backup in Philadelphia? I know it's one of the guys who were making fun of on the radio.
Yeah, that's a great question. It was both of them, but I'm not sure who it is right now.
So whoever it is not going to beat the Cowboys, what you're saying. And I say that, obviously, I have to assume that a healthy Hurts is going to be there, and they're going to beat the Cowboys. So 5-3 for me, 6-2 for you, coming back home to face the Giants again. Really early. That's the Giants twice in the first 10 games.
Yep. See, you know, this is interesting. We're going to wax the Giants again on that November 12th date. The Giants are not going to be able to, at that moment, the Cowboys are going to be fired up after beating the Birds. They're going to realize how good of a team they are. And we're going to be riding that train right through New York and the Meadowlands. They won't even know what happened.
I agree wholeheartedly. Again, even whether it's home, again, the away game was a surprise, but the let me reverse that. Yeah, that the Giants pulled it out in New York, but they're not beating the Cowboys in Dallas. Absolutely. So I am at 6-3. You have at 7-2, still looking good, and probably right behind the Eagles in the division right now. So November 19th, 7 days later, they're off to the Panthers, Bank of America Stadium on Fox.
Yeah, Panthers are going to be hurting. That's an easy win for the Cowboys. I think the next 3 weeks are going to be pretty easy wins for the Cowboys.
All right. I'm going to give them the win. We'll go with easy for a lack of any argument. But, yes, I have the Cowboys going to 7-3. You have them going 8-2. And so you're just going to just blow over the Commanders at home in Dallas.
Yep. Thursday game in Dallas, Washington. They have no idea what they're doing. They haven't figured out how to play football. They can't even figure out what their name is. So, you know, that's going to be another victory. What does that bring the Cowboys to at that moment?
You got them in 9-2. I got them in 8-3. And what the prior guest on our show, Larry Taxon, is really really not feeling well right now because he was a Commanders fan. And he may have even picked them over the Cowboys. But I agree with you. I think they're going to take down the Commanders really easily.
The one thing I will say is that the NFC East, they're likely one of those teams is going to win one game. I don't know which one it is. Maybe it'll be that opening day that you said. I don't think it's going to be the Giants. We seem to have their number, and the Commanders just seem so dead. It's hard to believe we can lose to a team like that. But we'll see what happens. Coming up, I know we got another Eagles game soon.
Yes. All right, so 7 days later, you got the Seahawks. At home, Prime Video. So unless you got Prime, you're not watching the game. So what's going to happen there?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, no, I did get myself the NFL package this year, so I'm good to go. But that being said, Seattle, if they were playing at home, I'd pick Seattle. But they are not. And I don't think they have the defense that's going to be able to stop the Cowboys. And I do think the Cowboys' defense is going to be able to stop. Who's their quarterback again? Was it Bridgewater? Who's their quarterback there?
Jeez, well, is it Geno? It's Geno Smith, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I give the Cowboys another win, setting up 10-2 going against the Birds in Week 14.
At home. This is something right now. This is only 5 weeks removed from what you said. We both had a loss. I know you had them beating the Eagles.
I had them winning.
Yeah, I had them losing. So now they're at home in Dallas, AT&T Stadium, NBC, December 10th.
Yeah, this is where the Cowboys blow it. This is where Dak shows his true colors. When we start to get down to the nitty-gritty here, this is where Dak, you know, really shows himself. And what's going to happen here, I can tell you already, we're going to be 3 scores behind within, like, by the second quarter. I don't know how it will happen. Probably by some sort of pick six. Probably, maybe even a fumble, quarterback sack fumble. The guy, defensive tackle, runs it in. The Eagles are going to win that game, not because they're the better team, but because the numerous fuck-ups, excuse my language, that the Cowboys will have early in that game. But the, right. I will give the Cowboys a loss to the Eagles.
So I thought you were leading up to a Cowboys comeback. You're saying that it's going to be down early, and then you'll be going to the bar, or at least consoling yourself with some kind of beverage early on.
They will make it close. The Cowboys will make a comeback in that game, but it will not be enough.
All right. Well, it's funny.
It'll remind me just like the San Francisco game in the playoffs last year. We blew it in the beginning. We came back, but wasn't enough. Same sort of thing.
Well, because I had the loss early on, I'm a believer in the splits. Swear words aside, I think Cowboys can take them. I think it's at home. And I think, again, Jalen Hurts, injured or not, I think that Philadelphia has to have a down game. And if Dallas plays their best, and if Maisie has the game of his life, you know, that first round pick.
Let go.
And Parsons, exactly. And Parsons coming in on the corner, taking him down. I'm giving him the win over the Eagles. So we're both match up at 10-3. So by the way, that's the fifth win in a row I have for the Cowboys. And now they go to Buffalo.
Yeah, that's interesting. So this is where the Cowboys have to be careful. So going to Buffalo late December, cold. Cowboys are not a cold team. We're not a team that likes to we're not a ground and pound sort of team anymore. This is where Zeke would come into play. The Buffalo Bills, I love Allen. I think James Cook is going to have a good season. Diggs is a player. Their defense is no joke. I think coming off of the loss with the Eagles, or even coming off of the win, as you had said, I don't think the Cowboys are going to have enough to win this game away in Buffalo. And I think this is going to be their fourth loss.
I agree. And I had that really coming off of the big win. It's just tough to go into Buffalo and win, especially late in the year. If that team is clicking on all cylinders, you got to assume Buffalo is going to be a playoff team again. So I also gave them the loss, putting them at 10-4. You've got them at 10-4. And we now go into week 16. Am I right so far? Yes, 10-4. You got they're at Miami, Hard Rock Stadium, day before Christmas.
Now we're getting all warmed up again. We're cold in Buffalo and Philly. Cowboys blood started pulsing through their veins. Dak Prescott is starting to realize he can throw the ball again. Fingers are a little bit warmer, getting a better grip on the ball. It's a high-scoring event in Miami. This is going to be a high flyer. Tyreek Hill, Waddle, they're going to be scoring touchdowns left and right. But CeeDee Lamb, Cook, Pollard will probably have 260-yard runs in this game because Miami's defense is non-existent. So it'll be like another hurricane coming through Miami. Cowboys win that game handily.
Wow.
When I say handily, I mean it's high-scoring, but we're in the lead the whole time.
Like a 45-43 game.
More like a 45-28. They get a bunch of scores, but we were winning the whole time.
Yeah, I would never think Cowboys defense giving up that many points. But yes, I think it will be a throw and pray game. Dolphins just don't have it. I'm really down on Tua. I know. I mean, Tyreek is great, but I'm down on Dolphins. I'm not a big fan. Maybe because my uncle who lives in Florida is a big Dolphins fan, and he's never sent me a birthday card in my entire life. So maybe that's on him. If he changes up a karma a little, maybe. But no, I'm giving the Cowboys the win out of spite. How about that? Not out of spite.
I love it. Fuck that guy.
Exactly. 11-4. We both have them 11-4. The Cowboys. So there you go. Similar beliefs. And now they have to come home and play the Lions. High scoring Lions, but Lions nonetheless.
Yeah, Lions are going to be an interesting team. I think this is going to be a game that has playoff implications for both teams. The Lions, they have that running back Gibbs. He's a player. He's gonna surprise a few people. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a fantasy draft pick that is a steal for many teams. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to beat the Cowboys. They don't have enough on in their squad. They're to do that. So Cowboys come out with a win there on a Saturday night game.
Nice. ESPN game. Absolutely. So I agree with you. And I am intrigued about your, you're talking a lot of fantasy. So when later after this schedule, we'll talk about your fantasy. It sounds like you got a couple teams out there.
I got a couple of things going on. Yes, I do.
All right, there you go. So we both got the Cowboys 12-4 going into the 14, 15, 16. Yeah, week 17. No, week 18 because of the bye. Everything is still TBD because of scheduling. It's either going to be the 6th or the 7th of January at Commanders. What's that about?
So at this moment, I think this game is going to depend upon what the playoff implications are. The only way the Commanders win this game is if it's a no, it doesn't matter the Cowboys.
Right.
That's the only way. But I don't even think I don't think the Commanders, I don't think they can do it. I don't think it's going to happen. I give the Cowboys even, I'll give Cooper Rush the win on the, or maybe Trey Lance. There you go. Trey Lance comes in, wins the game for the Cowboys on a 1 yard run in the fourth quarter.
Didn't the Commanders beat them in the last game last year?
Yeah, it was the same exact scenario.
Right. You know what? I had it down as a loss, but I'll give them the win. I'm changing my mind because, yes, you have to assume that it's a playoff implication game. And but if they can't lose the Commanders again 2 years in a row, last game of the year. You can't do that, right? It's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
All right. So there you go. The Cowboys, and I think I picked the Commanders when I talked with them in the Commanders preview, but I'll give it to the Cowboys because, hey, it's my show and I can change my mind if I want. That's what I can do. So 13-4, not too shabby. We both got them 13-4. That's better than last year. And I think that's not too bad.
Yeah, no, that's bringing them into the playoffs. They're a playoff team right there.
All right, there you go. So I want to go back because we did not talk about the free agent acquisitions. And you mentioned Lance, you mentioned Cooks. Give me your 45-second spiel about some of these free agent acquisitions that came on and improved the Cowboys.
Well, I mean, we had a big gap opposite Diggs last year. You know, it was one of those things where we had some younger guys who have been playing for us for a while, Anthony Brown, Jordan Lewis. They're players, but they weren't holding up their end of the deal. And Diggs, great player, ball hawk, but can get burned. You know, he looks inside next to you, the guy's running 10 yards. So we needed a veteran in my mind, and that's where Gilmer comes into play. So I think that's a really smart signing because I love the veteran presence there, somebody who's won championships. I mean, he knows how to win. So from that perspective, I think he could really be a leader in our secondary. Brandon Cooks right away is the missing piece of the offense that we didn't have last year. We were losing Zeke, and I get that, but Zeke didn't really give us a different dimension other than short yardage. Brandon Cooks opens up that field for us. Whether or not Michael Gallup can stay healthy or not, that would be great. We'll see what happens with these tight ends. I'm telling you, they can catch the ball. 6'5", white guy. That's what we need for Dallas. That's pretty much. We got two of them now. So we're loaded at tight end. From that perspective, we're fine. And the line, so that's the other thing, is we picked up the guy from the Jets, Edoga.
Mm-hmm.
Fills in right as a tackle. We're getting Tyron Smith back, Tyler Smith. Bia Diaz as our center, he's a hidden gem. You know, he's somebody who people don't know about, another Big Ten player. Zach Martin, hopefully he can remain healthy and continue to play and sign and you know, do what he needs to do. And then, you know, Steele, getting him back, solidifying our right side. So our line is good. The depth that we picked up in the draft, adding Edoga as a free agent signing, I think we did a really nice job solidifying our lines. The one thing that we didn't do, we didn't replace Zeke at all. Mm-hmm. So we picked up Ronald Jones. Remember that guy?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's suspended or what his deal is. I think he's suspended for something.
Right.
But he may become the short yardage back at some point. But other than that, we're hurting. So that could be a limitation for the Cowboys. Obviously, Dak is mobile. he's a big guy. He can do the 1 yard runs. Maybe we can figure out what the hell the Eagles are doing on their short yardage play and actually emulate that play, because it's ridiculous that nobody else in the NFL can seem to do what the Eagles are doing on a 1 yard play that is successful every goddamn time, and nobody can figure it out. But why are the Eagles the only people doing it? It's driving crazy. And that's why Mike McCarthy is a terrible coach.
There you go.
How can you see that happen to your own team so many times and either not figure out how to stop it or not implement it? Mm-hmm. It's like the skyhook. It was an unstoppable thing, and nobody else was implementing it. But why are no other teams doing it?
So true. So true. Well, again, when it comes to the running back position, just remember, you did draft Deuce Vaughn, so you got that going for you. Jeez, Deuce Vaughn.
You know what? One day that guy will play on third down, and I'll give you a call when he gets his first. Man.
a little Rudy situation where the whole crowd will be going, Deuce. Deuce, yeah, you go. I can see it. All right, so we both have the Cowboys doing well this upcoming year, record wise. Playoffs, obviously, it's a crapshoot. You never know what's going to happen. I got three predictions that people have sent in via text. You're going to tell me if they possibly could happen this upcoming year. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Number one, Pollard gets hurt. Meanwhile, Ezekiel Elliott outrushes the Cowboys' top rusher in 2023.
Well, that's not going to happen.
No.
Zeke is an old man. He's got more gray hairs than I do. That dude's done. He might, if you would have said touchdowns, I would have agreed with that. He could end up with a lot of touchdowns, but yardage, he might end up with 10 yards the entire year. But he might have 10 touchdowns, but 10 yards. No, I actually think Zeke will have an okay year, but I he's not going to outrun. Pollard's going to be a stud this year. If you're in fantasy football, you might want to draft him higher than folks that are putting him in the second round. Just saying.
All right, there you go. There's the Rossman stamp of approval on Pollard, so I like it. All right, we mentioned De'Ron Bland early, and again, the guy is had 5 interceptions, led the team. What do you think? Does he take the next step? Does he lead the NFC in interceptions?
Yeah, I don't even know, because he's still battling for a starting role. We still have Jordan Lewis. I don't know. I mean, he'll be playing, Bland. Don't get me wrong. I think folks are going to be very surprised at the strength of the Cowboys secondary. I'll put it like that. And again, I think it feeds off of our defensive line. Having a healthy DeMarcus Lawrence, obviously having Parsons coming off the edge. Now with my man Maisie pulling out his guns, coming down the middle. I think our cornerbacks are going to – I think you're going to find that our D-backs, are going to be picking up interceptions at a higher rate. Maybe not because they're the best cover corners, but because the D-line's putting pressure on the quarterback.
Sure. All right, so there you go. So that's impressive that a guy who leads led the team in interceptions last year is fighting for a starting role this year. That shows you that they've got a lot of talent on that team. All right, so the third prediction, Cowboys make the playoffs again, but due to injuries to Prescott and Rush, Trey Lance is going to start against the Niners.
Cooper Rush doesn't get hurt. That dude is a transformer. That's just not going to happen. So Trey Lance, he may see the field, but more likely it's going to be when he's running on the field as an introduction when the game first starts. maybe when he runs off the field. I don't think he's going to see the sideline. Cooper Rush showed that he can win multiple games last year at the NFL level. He's got a lot of poise. Trey Lance hasn't shown it yet. There's no way that guy is coming in the playoffs. That being said, I don't think Trey Lance is any better or worse than Dak Prescott in the playoffs. So I wouldn't be upset if Cooper Rush came in the playoffs or Trey Lance to take over for Dak.
There you go. Okay. So, and so the guy said, and beats the Niners. So can you imagine the situation where Trey Lance starts due to injuries or whatever the situation is, they face the Niners one more time and beat them?
It won't be Trey Lance, but I could see that being Cooper Rush.
All right, there you go. Well, you did say that. If it was Cooper Rush or Romo, those guys beat the Niners last year.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so flipping to fantasy, you got one pick from the Cowboys. Who's your fantasy pick? One guy.
Well, I'll tell you right now, my guy is Bijan Robinson. That's the pick right now. If you got a pick, I don't care where your pick is, you better pick Bijan Robinson. The only person that I would suggest, there's two receivers that I really like, Jefferson and Chase. Happy if you took one of those, but if you are in a league where your running backs are the position you want, it's not going to be Eckler. It's not going to be C-Mac. It's going to be Robinson. He's the next Adrian Peterson.
Well, who's from the Cowboys? You have one guy. Who's your only one pick?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I mean, obviously CeeDee Lamb is going really high in the drafts. Mm-hmm. But interestingly for me, I never pick Cowboys. I whenever I draft, I don't ever pick a Cowboy just because I don't like to, when I'm rooting for anybody to listen, Dak, I can't force Dak to throw the touchdown definitely to CD. Dak's not that good. I just want him to throw a touchdown. So I never pick Cowboys, but if I had to pick a Cowboy, the guy's going to be Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard is going to be a stud this year. He should be a first-round pick in all fantasy leagues. And the reason why he's not is because people think he can't do short yardage. Wait and see. He gets 12 touchdowns easily, if not more this year.
Well, I picked Lamb as well. He's my number one wide receiver on my fantasy team. I didn't get Pollard, and I also agree. I don't like to pick guys for my team, the Steelers, but I was stuck with the defense. So in addition to the Niners D, I have the Steelers D.
You know, as a Steelers fan, you might appreciate this. My keeper for this year, I'm not sure how he's going to do, but I get him in the 12th round, is George Pickens. Okay. And I've heard great things about him in camp and his rapport with Pickett. So I'm hoping that maybe he'll be a steal in those late rounds.
Big fan. And all I hear from not only Steeler fans, but other fantasy guys is that he's going to be the one. He's going to be him and Pickett. He's going to elevate Pickett to prominence as far as a quality quarterback because he's just a stud receiver.
Yeah, people are calling Pickett the biggest sleeper this year. I've seen his name listed in a million different lists amongst the top sleepers.
It'll be interesting. It'll be a very interesting year for Pickett because he's got to take that step. Otherwise, the Steelers are drafting quarterback next year because they can't that'll cut Tomlin's reputations on the line.
Yeah, I'd still take Dak Prescott from a fantasy perspective over Kenny Pickett for sure, but not from a playoff perspective.
There you go. No. But would you pick Trey Lance over Pickett?
No.
Okay. You hesitated. No, that's interesting.
I had to think about that one. But I like Kenny Pickett. I've been watching him for years. He's Trey Lance may surprise me, but like I said, He's number three. He's got a way to go to get on the field.
All right. It was your hesitation that threw me off. All right. So we got your fantasy picks. We got your picks for the upcoming season. When you think about the Cowboys, give me your favorite Cowboys memory of all time.
My favorite. Well, that's so interesting. Now there's a lot of good memories. I think the one that I always rewatch, and this is a one that I didn't see live, but I love watching Dorsett's 99-yard run. Mm-hmm. He was my favorite player. He's the reason why I'm a Cowboy. His number is the same number my dad wore. You and Myers were all Steelers fans. Bubba, everybody was a Steeler fan. And I, at the time, was a little unsure what to do. But my dad, his football number was 33. And the best running back at that time was Dorsett wearing 30. Not best running back. The best running back who was wearing 33 at that time was Dorsett. So somehow I became that. But I've watched that video so many times because, to me, that dude used to glide. Like, you see runners run. But when you watch that video, it almost looks like he's floating in a certain part of it. So yeah, that's my, I can't say that's the real life video because I wasn't there, but I love watching that highlight for sure.
So actually the world, and you never know what would have happened had OJ Simpson been wearing number 33. You know, what would Eric Rossman have been?
Been a white Bronco, who knows?
Never know. No, it's funny when I think of the when I think of the Cowboys. Again, growing up the Steeler fan, and yeah, it was a nice rivalry. It was very easy for me to be a Steeler fan because, you know, they were winning all the Super Bowls, four in a 5-year span. But I like when teams do something wrong, and that makes it my favorite memory. So I'll probably just describe it, and you're going to know what I'm talking about. 2006 NFC wildcard game, the play known as the fumble seen around the world. Not sure if you remember it. Playoff game, Cowboys down 21-20. Drove to the Seahawks 20-yard line. Then coach Bill Parcells elected to go for that chip shot. Nice 19-yard field goal. Martin Gramatica, automatic Gramatica. He one of the most reliable kickers in the league. He went lined up for it, except, remember what happened? Tony Romo fumbled the ball, fumbled the snap.
I wasn't sure if you were going to the Leon Lett play or the don't throw.
Tony Romo fumbled the snap. And then tried to run it in, and he came within a yard shy of the goal line, but it was very embarrassing. It was embarrassing. And I felt that I see it in my head. I see it happening.
Let me ask you this question. Why was Tony Romo your starting quarterback being your placeholder?
That's a good question. He was the
reason why is because he was the placeholder previously. If I remember, I don't remember for sure, but I don't know if he started that whole season or was that the season that he came over, but he was the person who was doing that from the season before, if I'm correct. And I might be merging my memories, but he should have never been in that position. You don't have your starting, unless you're trying to run some crazy fake, you don't put that guy in that position. So to me, that's a coaching error. Tony Romo got the brunt of it, man. People beat him up over that play. I actually think Tony Romo was probably the second best quarterback for the Cowboys in the history of the team.
Behind Danny White?
I love Danny White, but I'll give Danny White a nod at maybe number three. I guess you'd probably have to give Staubach and, you know, Aikman maybe number two and Tony Romo. But I actually think Tony Romo was more skilled than Aikman. I think Aikman had a better team.
No, absolutely. When you got Emmitt Smith, it's easy. It's easy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's funny that that fumble was – When I did the Jets, I also did the butt fumble with Mark Sanchez. So I just find fumbles to be hilarious, especially when they happen at the worst possible time.
Yeah, I hear you.
So I apologize that I had to bring up that memory.
I was going to say, it wasn't the Leon Lett memory. That's the one that hurts me the most.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. When I was talking to Myers and I mentioned the Steelers, we talked about the we talked about Roethlisberger when they were facing the Colts, and Bettis fumbled the ball at the 1-yard line. And if it wasn't for the hand of God, Roethlisberger reaching out and knocking down the guy who picked it up, it would have been nightmare. It would have been that worse. The fumble of for all fumbles. It would have been a nightmare. But I felt that pain, and I feel your pain. But obviously you're smiling, so you're over it.
I am. I'm looking forward to this year. I think the Cowboys are going to surprise some people. Last year, we got our first playoff win. This year, don't be surprised if we maybe get our second. I'm not predicting a Super Bowl, but I actually think they're going to surprise a few people in the playoffs this year.
There you go. There's nice predictions there. I like it. And so an injury to Prescott at any point would be devastating, but if he could stay healthy, the experts have the Cowboys an over-under about 10.5. We both have them at 13 wins. So I think we're all predicting a quality year for the Cowboys.
I hear you. Let's go.
Eric, thank you again for coming on the show. Although we're both enjoying the stretch run for the Phillies, I honestly have to say, I hope the Cowboys can win it for you. I don't predict a title, but as you said, maybe two playoff wins will be nice.
It would be nice to at least – a few playoff wins would go a long way. I'll tell you this. If we're by chance able to knock off the Birds in the playoff, I may retire from watching football after that and just feel like I won the Super Bowl. And
you saw it all. You saw it all. Yes, yes. There you go. Well, you never know. That's what's great about it, folks. You got to play the games now. We've talked about it. It's been on paper, but now you got to play it. Thank you all again for listening to Talking with People, a QF production hosted by Adam Pallant and my guest, Eric Rossman. Make sure to follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook so you will be alerted to future episodes, and hit the follow button where you find your podcast. And while you're at it, if you're enjoying the show, leave a review, right? Eric, shouldn't I leave a review?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, you don't get to see my pretty face, so you can't review that, but.
That's true. I'll make sure to try to get a face in a couple of the other tweets, just so everyone can see these two pretty faces that came out of Twitterers. Hey, if you want to get on the show or you want to chat with me, you can also reach me directly through Twitter or the X, as they call it, at LoneDog71. Keep your eyes and ears out for upcoming episodes. We have fun guests coming up and previewing the Bears, Giants, and some others. So now here's some closing music by Jason Licht. He is a freshman at the College of New Jersey. Take it away, Jay.